First Congregational Church of Westfield, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are most welcome here. Our announcements this morning are brief. We'd certainly like to thank Cindy LaPlante, who is very smart by not being here today. But anyway, except she worked very, very hard, her and her crew of helpers, on yesterday's 4 Score and More luncheon. So that was fantastic. We had a communion service, we had lunch, we had games, we had trivia, you name it, we did it. And some of the decorations are still up, so you'll get to see those. And did anybody win lots of money from the race yesterday? No. Okay. Seeing none. Very good. All right. We all have to go to work tomorrow. That's fine. I know that there is no Christian Fellowship meeting this week. This would be the week that we would have Christian Fellowship. Their next meeting is going to be in June. And it's going to be a luncheon. And it's going to take place at Westfield Technical Academy at the Tiger's Pride Restaurant. So there'll be sign-ups. And it'll be a cost, but it's not terribly expensive. It's around $11, $11, $13, something like that. And it's a great lunch over at Westfield Tech. And hopefully those of you who are free during the day, you'll be able to join us. But look forward to those signups. Are there any other announcements this morning? Because I am not aware of them if there are. Oh.
Church school, come down, stay with me downstairs today.
So you're going to go into the ladies' parlor. You're going to go into the living room today. All right, you're going to start there. Anything else? Hearing none, let us worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship, following printed in your worship guide. Come, let us sing our songs of joy to the Lord.
We will tell God's power.
Let our voices be heard everywhere.
Let our songs of praise never end.
Let all the earth echo the songs of God's mighty love.
Let us feel the strength of God that lives through us.
Shout the good news, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Please join in our opening hymn, You Are the Salt for the Earth, Blue Hymnal, number 725.
Thank you.
be seated. And at this time, I ask you to join with me in the prayer of confession as found in your worship guide. We rejoice in the wonder of your resurrection, O Christ, but then tend to sink back into our old ways of thinking, behaving, responding to people's needs. We can dance with the angels and all humankind on Easter Sunday, but the days following the day of resurrection cause us to slip back into apathy or despair. Forgive us when we so easily become distracted by our own cares and worries that we ignore the needs of others around us. Forgive us when we forget your power and love for us. Give us a spirit of rejoicing, willing hearts and hands for helping, voices for praising you forever. We ask this in the name of Jesus as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Poor Shade isn't what I'm going to pick on him, but I'm going to pick on him. You ready? Just a little bit. You sing? Yes.
He's so good.
Do you drive yet? No, why not? Because why? Because. All right. We're going to go back and forth with that. Sylvester Gonzalez, Offspring. Do you drive yet? Do you drive? You drive? No, why not? Are you driving yet? Did you get your license or just a permit? Permit? All right. Hang on. But you're driving. How come you're not driving? You're too young. That's right. You're not driving. Too young, right? Do you want to? Do you want to? Why? Because what? It's fun. You think it's fun. How many of the older people think driving is fun? Sorry, man. How many of you long for the days of a chauffeur? I want someone to drive me around. It can be fun. Driving can be fun. But when you get behind the wheel of a car and you have to drive, it comes with a great deal of responsibility. And you have to pay attention to all kinds of things, none of which involve a cell phone. Okay? That should never come into the picture. Unless you're pulled over and the car was in park. So remember that. People drive and do all kinds of things. And they think they know where they're going, because they think that they're in charge, and they think that they're in charge of the car. Now, there are some people in today's scripture who thought that they were in charge, and they thought that they knew where they were going, how they were going to get there, and what they would do when they got there. But that's not what happens. Not always. We think, because we're behind the wheel of that car, that we know what's going to happen at all times, but we don't. And that's where I'm going to leave you, a little cliffhanger this morning. So before you go off to church school, please pray with me. Good and gracious God, we place all that we have and all that we are into your hands. Be with us, guide us, help us in all that we do, all that we say, and all that we are, so that all of that may be for your greater glory. Amen. And we're going to church school. Let us turn our attention to the Word of God.
Our scripture reading this morning is Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing our murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he treated Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and get into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called on him a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Join me in the responsive reading of Psalm 30. "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me."
"O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health."
"You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave."
"Sing to the Lord, who serves God. Give thanks for the remembrance of the holiness of God."
"For For the wrath of God endures, but the twinkling of an eye, the divine favor for a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but joys come in the morning.
God, I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed.
Lord, with your favor, you made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear.
I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with you, saying, what profit is there in my blood when I come down to the pit? Who will thus praise you or declare your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever.
In the gospel reading last week, also from John, we used John chapter 20. In our gospel story, for those of you who did not come to Southwick last week, our gospel story was about Thomas and Jesus appearing to the disciples for the first time in John's gospel, anyway. And our reading today is what happens after that. And it begins, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish. For they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of that fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now, it was the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, "Son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Driving is old hat for us, so I don't have to worry about that. And we know that many people would like to be chauffeured around. But how many like to travel? Do you like to travel? How do you prefer to travel? So you get to vote, and you can vote as many times as you want. How many prefer to travel by car? How many by bus? Train? Airplane. Very good. All right, just checking. As I said, I prefer to travel by car because basically I get to decide where we're going to go, usually. I get to decide where we're going to stop. Do we get to eat? Do we get to have ice cream? Do we get to do all these different things? And I think that that's pretty cool. I think a lot of it comes from my childhood, where we were often, on Sunday afternoons, we'd go for a ride. And most often, we'd go to my grandparents. My paternal grandparents had a home out in Richmond, Mass., which is just the next town over from Pittsfield. So the phrase became, going to Richmond. So we knew what that meant. The only person we know in Richmond were my grandparents, so we were going to my grandparents. Sometimes that was a good thing. Sometimes it wasn't. It wasn't a good thing sometimes because my grandparents had this giant garden. And when you have 35 grandchildren, you have 35 weed pullers. And you have 35 grandchildren, who would think that digging potatoes is a fine way to spend a Sunday afternoon? It's not. I can tell you 50 years later, still, it's not. But let's go back to going for a ride. Because if we go for a ride, as we said to the younger people before they went to church school, we think that we're in charge, even if we're driving. Right? Even if we're going for a ride. We think that we're in charge. But what happens if the car just stops? And you don't know how to fix it? That would be me. I'm lucky I can put gas in the thing. But beyond that, I'm sunk. Oh, I can put windshield wiper fluid in now. But now poor Roger travels with me on Sunday mornings. So if the car breaks down, Roger, we're in trouble. But anyhow, we are not necessarily in control at all times. We think we are, but we're not. Saul was leaving Tarsus, heading to Damascus. He thought that he was in charge. He had done horrible things to Christians. He had arrested them. He had them jailed. He had them tortured. Saul was someone who had, they tell us that, I believe his father was Roman, the mother was Jewish. It was a mixed marriage. So he's a little bit of both, but definitely sided with Romans, with his Roman heritage, and worked for the Romans. At the time that he was around, the people who were the followers of the way, they hadn't called themselves Christians yet. But they were the one, they were being tortured and being captured, and it wasn't pretty. It was all based on their beliefs. They weren't forcing the beliefs on anyone else, but just the way that they chose to live. Think about that one later. But there they were. Now, here's Saul. He's on the horse. He thinks he's in charge. He's leading his men to go and to do whatever it is they're going to do in Damascus. Zapped off the horse. He's no longer in charge. Oh, he gets to Damascus all right because he's led by the companions to Damascus. He's not there to do what he thought he was going to do. But now he encounters Ananias, who's praying over him and praying for his conversion. And Saul had also been praying for his conversion. Not what he thought he was going to be doing when he drove. Also, I want you to think about the end of the gospel reading. The end of the gospel reading. Very truly, I tell you, when you were young, you fastened your own belts, and you went where you pleased to go. You went where you thought you were going to be. And then when you got older, you raised your arms, and someone else fastened that belt and brought you along. How many times are we brought along places that we never thought we were going to go? It happens. Trust me. I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it again. If someone had said to me 10 years ago, in 2015, it doesn't seem that long ago, does it? Well, think of all the things that have happened since then. But if someone had told me in 2015, hey, 10 years from now, you're going to be the pastor at First Congregational Church in Westfield and Southward Congregational Church, and you're going to get talked into being the moderator of the Hampton Association. Oh yeah, you're going to do X, Y, and Z, and you're going to be on the Westfield Theater stage. I look at them like you're out of your minds. All those things have happened, of course, because someone took me by my belt and kind of led me around. In that, think about things that you've done in your lives that you never thought you'd be doing. What? Because we've listened, we've prayed, and we've been led around. Maybe some of us have been knocked off a horse. Hopefully, figuratively, not literally, because that's kind of dangerous. But we've been knocked off the horse, or we've been led. My friends, at this time, we have to keep ourselves open to that. Because if we think that we're in charge and that we get to make all of those decisions, we're not. No, see, thank you, Jackie. We're not in charge. We aren't. But we have to keep ourselves open to the possibilities of where we are being called, to what we are being called, how we are being called, and what will come as a result. Let's keep our hearts open, our eyes open, our ears opened, so that we too can hear that call. So that when we're off the horse or being led by our belt, it's not that big of a surprise. Be open to the Spirit. Be open to what God has in store for all of us. Oh, and if you listen to the Spirit, maybe you get to stop and get ice cream, too. As we come to prayer this morning, we're ever mindful of our prayer list, our joys and concerns that are listed in our worship guide this day. We pray for our world. We pray for our country. We pray for our local government. We pray for our church. We pray for our families, for those who have asked for our prayers. And of course, we remember those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. And may God be with you. Please pray with me. Call our names, Lord. Call us as you called Saul. When we are traveling in the wrong direction, when we are breathing threats, when our hearts are full of evil intent, speak to us in unexpected voices and set us on a new path. Call us as you called Ananias to be an instrument of healing, to be agents of change, to speak truth to power. Even when we are fearful of the cost, give us trust in your sending. Call us as you called the disciples and invited them for breakfast, even though they did not recognize you. Help us to see that there will be food for everyone if we persist through the long night of waiting, if we take the risks of faith in sharing to reach the abundance of daybreak. Call our names, Lord. Call us as you called Simon Peter and asked for his love, then told him to feed and tend your people. May we see the connection between love of you and love of your people, that we, too, may feed and be fed and follow you. We ask all this through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, through the grace of God, we have gifts in abundance and pour them out like perfume from a flask, not for our sakes, but to worship the one who lavishes love on the world. Our morning offering will now be received.
Thank you.
Now use these gifts in our lives to liberate the oppressed, to break the bonds of injustice, to feed the hungry, welcome the poor, and unite the human family, all in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. After Easter, after the resurrection, when Jesus wants to be sure his followers know it's really him present among them, more often than not, he shares food with them. To know the resurrected Jesus, to encounter life beyond death, is to eat together, surrounded by abundance. So in the midst of all the death-dealing forces of this world, and all suffering and injustice, we set this table together, where all are welcome, all know dignity and belovedness, and all are fed. And may God be with you.
Also
lift up your hearts.
Lift
Let us give thanks to God Most High.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your own image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. Therefore, in grateful procession of endless praise with the church that is, was, and shall be forever, we glorify you in song. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. And to an inheritance, once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word in spirit. And now we bring you these gifts and we ask you to make them holy with your spirit. We pray that they may become our special and spiritual nourishment, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us this gift at that last Passover meal he celebrated with the disciples. In the midst of that meal, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and praise. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." And in the same way, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks and praise. He gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, which will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Whenever you do this, do it in memory of me." Through the broken bread, we participate in the body of Christ. Through the cup of salvation, we participate in the blood of Christ. So come, for all things are ready.
Thank you.
ministering to you in his name, I give you the cup. Please join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving is found in your worship guide. Gracious God, we give thanks that through Christ we live in your favor. We give thanks that through Christ we come to the table of grace, partaking heavenly food and the gift of salvation. Like the great company of witnesses who came to this table before us, we are filled with gratitude and joy for your many blessings. We come before you in praise and thanksgiving, as we commit ourselves again as members of the living body. Love God and see Christ in each person you meet. Give thanks always, and do not withhold love from any, for we do not know who may yet turn to the light. For he lives. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.